true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Hi, Katie Rubin.
What's going
on,
friend?
How is my exhausted friend?
Exhausted.
I can only imagine.
There's a Pisces new moon, which is messing with everyone I know, wondering how, before I say too much, like how is it landing in your world?
I don't know how long has it been going?
A couple days, two days.
Okay. No, actually, the last couple of days have been pretty good. I had just bizarre tech issues this morning coming in. Why I'm late starting. You know, I'm never the one that has the tech issues, and I just couldn't get the mic to record. And I guess it's because I'd hit mute somewhere in the deep system settings. I don't fucking know. It was dumb. I solved it, but it took a while.
Yeah, sounds like Pisces moon to me.
Yeah, just silly stuff. Yeah.
Right. I gotcha. We have updates for the people. We had Denise came to the play.
Yeah.
And brought a posse of people. Thank God. Bless her. Very, very cool of her.
And I will tell you, people, that crowd lost their damn minds. They thought it was so awesome.
That's,
I mean, seriously,
nice.
Like, I've gotten so many messages from Denise just being like, no, seriously, do you understand? That might have been the best thing I've ever seen. We were peeing, we were crying, we were laughing so hard. Oh my God. You know, everyone needs to know about this. Everyone needs to come and see this show. Just absolute ecstasy with how good
that's
the
awesome.
Show is. And
that's great. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. She shared it with me, and everyone who has come has said those words to me. And yeah, I don't want to get too in the weeds about it, but it has been harder to get butts in seats than we thought it would be. I can't get my head off of the Pisces moon. I think I need to say more about that.
Okay, let's get back to Pisces moon. Maybe, is it relevant to this?
Mm-hmm. It's all connected. So it's like a new moon in Pisces and Pluto entered Aquarius, which, did we talk about this last time? Pluto and Aquarius? No.
I don't think so.
Pluto is a planet of death and transformation and transmutation and difficulty. And it moved into Aquarius, which is a sign of transformation and change and upheaval and breaking systems apart and moving past the current structures. So you've got, and like that's, it's a powerful planet in a powerful placement. So it's like double change, transition, whatever. But also Pisces moon is about, Pisces is very psychic. It's very otherworldly. It's very transmutational. It's very watery, creative, spiritual, the other realms and the depth diving. So it calls up any depths that need to be plunged into. And I already have Pisces moon, so I'm just getting hit pretty deeply myself. I had a whole like healing crisis a couple days ago that I'm still coming out of. That was, I started taking supplements with my witch doctor lady to balance my hormones. And sometimes when you reactivate the hormones in your body, I have now learned the period of time in your life when they went off, like my certain amounts of hormones got messed up when I was 18.
Uh-huh.
The moment of like whatever trauma that is that shuts it down, if you bring that thing back in, it activates the trauma from the thing that shut it down. So I was working with Lisa yesterday and she said, so what happened when you were 18? And I was like, oh, well, my dad left my mom and it was the summer before college. And right before that, he had died for a minute and been brought back to life from alcoholic addiction. And so my dad died, came back to life, left the house. My mother was devastated. And then I went to college and all that happened in 30 days. And then when I got to college, I just got drunk for 4 years.
Wow.
I mean, I succeeded at college because I was a weird high-functioning drinker. like partier, hard drugs, all the stuff. But like valedictorian, spoke at our graduation. So like just anything you could use to like not be present, I used and just like didn't process it. And of course, since then, I've done a lot of work on that period of time. But one thing I've learned working with Lisa is like the organs and the glands hold trauma. You know, I've been doing all this NET work in my classes with people, and I've learned the NET through Lisa, NET being neuro-emotional technique. And neuro-emotional technique pulls the trauma out of the physical body, specifically in the glands and the organs. And so she was explaining to me, like, the glands and the organs have layers also. Like, you may have processed layers of this, but it's up again. Here's a new layer. So it turned my nervous system off. It fucked my gallbladder, my digestive system, my sexual organs, my heart. Like, everything just went boo. And I was, like, crazy depressed 2 days ago. Like, depressed like I haven't been in 15 years. All of it activated by bringing my hormones back online, which activated the moment where they went offline, if that makes sense. So anyway, we did a big processing about it, and I'm like 70% better. Like, if I don't seem great right now, I'm sure, but should have seen me yesterday and the day before. So it's been like that for me, and I'm going back again today to see her again to tweak further, because it's, yeah. Now, the fact that that coincides with the Pisces new moon is like no coincidence.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, it's just all one pie. As Ben says in the play, one pie, man, one freaking pie. That makes me think the Capital Stage, what's it called? Big gala event.
The gala that you went to? Or no, you sent someone to.
That's right. Diane McBride went in my stead, and Stephanie Goulart, who was the artistic director originally of Capital Stage, was there and spoke, and I got reports back. It's making me think, because that play is so, to me, of the old school Capital Stage vibe from my time when I was there. She came and she said, she spoke, and Diane was texting me reporting what she was saying. And she got up and said, you know, it's incredible to see, you know, how far the company has come. And like, what a crazy thing. Who the hell starts a theater company? Like, and she said, she goes, like, I was at home preparing for this talk, and I Googled, who starts a theater company, or what kind of, why would you start a theater company? And the response Google gave was Audacity. I don't know, ChatGPT or something, Audacity. Anyway, so her whole talk was like, it's audacious and bold to do this, and it also makes no sense and is not smart. And in her case, it's like somehow we wound up with this thing that worked, and here it is still, you know, far past my being a part of it, and blah, blah, blah. So Diane was texting me that, being like, so, like, encouraging me, like, it's audacious, it's bold, you've done a bold, audacious thing.
Yeah.
Which is nice to hear, but it's when I have days like this, and like the last few days have been this hard, I just go like, I don't know that I'm built for this. Like, I might just be way too sensitive, and this may have been something I needed to do to learn.
Yeah.
I'm done doing it. Oof. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, I'm also, for just so we can all learn a thing, I have emotional authority. And so that wave comes up and it goes down, and it's down right now. And it's like, no, I'm all done. We're not doing that ever again. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. You can't just go, well, I feel this feeling very strongly, so I'm going to walk away. That's not how yours works.
No, because it'll change in 3 days or 2 minutes or 6 hours.
Yeah. It is audacious. I mean, if you compare it to Capital States, it's like they started in a funky tiny theater on a riverboat in Old Town Sacramento. Oh, what? You know,
yeah.
You started at a community center in San Ramon. You know, what?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah. Ours is a beautiful theater. I want to say that so people who are listening don't think we're coming to some shitty community center. It's stunning. And everybody who comes in is like, whoa, this place is awesome. They just rebuilt it. They got many millions of dollars to rebuild it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So but it's audacious just in the amount of money it takes to put it together, and the amount of time and energy, and like how you got to build a team, and how it's a business where maybe you make money, but maybe not. And for a long time, not. So it's a lot.
Yeah, that's got to be hard. I can't even imagine. I've been watching you and just sort of marveling at your survival through it and occasional thrival. Is that a word?
There have been, I would say it's more than occasional. There's been a lot of thriving.
I mean, the show itself, again, I haven't seen it yet, haven't been able to, but by all reports, absolutely like a fucking victory.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best things everybody has seen in a long time. And so, you know, go see it.
Go see it, America.
Go see it. Or if you don't live nearby, send 10 people who do.
Yeah, please.
Say, you got to go see this show. It's not that far out of the main part of Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
San Ramon is just outside of the central loop, if it were.
Yeah, it's 30 minutes east.
It's nothing. It's not much farther than Walnut Creek, where I'm doing a show. And
how's that going?
It's going pretty good. It's been, you know, we go into tech this week. It's been, we go back and forth with you know, how you, like, there's this one scene that's very sort of technical. It has to just be like, boom, it's like interwoven. We're both narrating, all of four of us sort of facing forward and then also interacting in the scene and then narrating and then pow, 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 pow. It's very interwoven. And it's a very technical scene. And we'll get the note like, guys, you got to pick it up. It's just, it's lying there. And then you're like, and then the next time we do it, guys, what are you doing? You are rushing. And you're like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he'll say, yeah, go ahead and just, you know, take your time. What are you guys doing? You're totally just lagging. I'm going to.
I just went through this. I don't frame it like, guys, what are you doing? I hate that framing.
Sometimes he does that. And that's when I get frustrated. When he says like, look, I know I said last time.
Yeah.
But now it's lagging. So we need to figure out what, but it's put in terms of like, how can you guys lag like that? That's when I get mad. I'm like,
that's not okay.
Because we're doing actually what you said. We're just not quite pulling it off. And that's fine. But so there is that frustration of like, you want to get credit for what you did in the direction that you thought it was being asked for, even if it was wrong.
Or not even wrong, like even if you overcorrected maybe and now we got to find the middle. It's like, we're dialing it in all the time, I feel like.
Yeah. And most of the time he gives it in those terms, but every once in a while in his frustration, he'll give it to you. He's like, it is lagging.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, but thank you.
I mean, I'm literally giving that same series of notes myself, but not
it's comedy.
In that way.
Comedy is hard that way.
Comedy, you got to hit it right where it has to be. Otherwise, it's asleep or it's way ahead of itself.
It's got to be energized and connected, but never rushed.
Ugh. So hard.
It's so hard. And yeah, we did sort of our fat last run through in the rehearsal space before going to starting tech this evening. And it's going to be, it's a technically very challenging show, a billion light cues, because there's all this breakout. It's a constant, like, you know, in the scene, and then this one character is constantly in the scene and then talks to the audience, and then back in the scene and then talks to the audience. And you really do have to get light support on that. So there's going to be a billion light cues. And that actor, to be frank, has been struggling with that role, with the function of the narrator, especially the mixed-in narrator. Because it requires a certain snappy facility with like, I'm here, now I'm here. Now I'm here, now I'm here. And he's just a more smooth kind of, he's a more deliberate actor.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's hard for him.
Well, sometimes it's like the style of a piece demands an energy that is not that actor's forte.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just heard about, I'm going to be as vague as possible.
Yeah.
About an actor who just had to be replaced right before previews.
Oh, it's hard.
Because they just couldn't pull it off. And this is a really good actor.
So it was probably just not a fit.
Yeah, it just wasn't a fit. And it went all the way up through dress rehearsal. We're familiar with this story. It happened to us in our show. And it just was not a fit. And it wasn't ever going to be. And it took for a long time.
Wait, okay, but wait. Because we have to tell this story just without the names.
Except they already know the name because we told it in the past.
Who the fuck is knitting this together?
That's
nobody.
True.
Nobody will knit this together. Let's do it like this. Well, so I'll tell the story in a way that I think is safe. You and I did a show a million years ago at a mysterious location that shall not be named.
Yeah.
There were four of us. One of the four got replaced during previews, which was very painful. One of the three people that remained in that production right now in present time just got replaced in a production they're in.
Yeah. There you go.
We can say that.
Yeah. Great. That okay. Cutting back in.
Unbelievable.
I just told Katie who it was, and it's kind of shocking because of the synchronicity of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can keep the thing I just said.
Okay. There's a lot of cutting. Just say it again.
Well, no, we don't have to. We could cut the beep, beep, beep. You could just keep what I just said because that explains it, I think, pretty well.
Desmond, piece that shit together, baby.
I'm sorry, Desmond. I'm sorry. But the point is, we just don't want to name the production or the people. But holy fuck.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I will say, too, that I was a little butt sore for a second about was that the person who got promoted in the production you're talking about right now told me they were done doing theater. And that's why they couldn't do my show.
Right. But then they got a very good paying gig.
Yeah. I mean, that's what obviously pulls you back in. Anybody would take that. I don't begrudge them for taking that. It's more just like, don't say you're not doing theater if the truth is
I'm not doing
low-paying theater. Yeah. Just say, like, I can't take the contract. I had a couple people say that to me, which I fully respect.
Yeah, fair enough.
It also may be the case he didn't know that he would say yes.
Until it came his way. Yeah.
I've been in that position.
But I'm devastated for the person we know who got.
I hope he's okay. I know. Oh, do we know why?
I've only heard third hand, I'll be honest. There's communication between the two casts because, to be honest, I won't say why.
Your cast and that show?
And that show, a lot of people know each other. And so somebody in that cast told someone in my cast what had happened. And it's just...
You know, I have to say one more thing.
So the challenge, I think, just to let me just finish the thought, it's not so much, it's not always, wow, that person sucks. It's just, it's kind of like we talked about in relationships where it's like, it's not always that the people in the relationship were bad people or one person was an asshole.
No, that's what I was just saying a second ago. It's not a fit. Yeah,
it's just not a fit. And it's hard to accept that. Like, that hurts the heart to think about.
Oof, that's really hard too, because that particular person has been going through it over the past few years and like things have not been coming together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they're okay. I might check in on them.
Yeah.
Man.
And I don't know to what level that what I've reported is fully fleshed out, but it's a version of just not quite working.
And then the person who's replacing them, I will just say this, has a history with that person.
Oh no.
They have a history. Just like they've, yep. And like has, let's see, we can't talk about any of this.
No.
Just like knows them a long time and has done things with them. And so it's in other words, they know each other well enough that it's got to be awkward.
Yep.
To take over for your colleague that you've done many things with.
Yeah.
Who also was your boss a couple different times in a couple different ways.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit like karma. And I don't say that to punitively. I mean, like, I am someone who lives through a lot of karma myself. Like, if my whole, the 6-2 is here to just like tie up loose ends and wrap up their karma. That's what 6-2s are really doing.
I think it's important that we clarify karma is often used shorthand for like justice or comeuppance, which it is not. That's not a good use of that phrase. And I don't think you're using it.
Though it can be,
right.
It can be that also. In other words, I think that karma is sort of like a completion of things or a tying up of loose ends or a balancing of the scales. And there can be, I mean, it can be a like, hey, so this is how this is when this happens. Like I get that. I get lessons like that all the time where it's like, I'll be a little bit of a dick to someone and then I'll receive that same dickitude hours later at the DMV or something. And I'll be like, oh, fuck. And then I'll call that first person and be like, I am so sorry I spoke to you that way. That was not my intention, but somebody just did it to me and now I get it. And I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Because I have to be shown. I'm a child in a lot of ways. I have to be shown. I don't think that doesn't have to be held with judgment. That's just like
right.
How some of us get learn things in this incarnation. But my point to you being like, given what we know about that person's past from the show we all did.
Yeah.
And that it's happening now to them. It's like, that's inescapable. You can't not see the parallel there.
Right.
So, like, I wonder how the communication was done or how it went down in the past that might be being mirrored back.
Yeah. Something like 15 years later or some shit. I don't know how long ago that was. That was a long time ago. Katie, we've been doing this a minute, you and me. We've been on our little path for a long time now.
It's true. I'm just in a day where I'm like, I'm not on that path anymore. I'm done.
What, with us?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. With theater.
Oh, of course.
I'm in my moment of like, cool, we did that. We're wrap that right the fuck up. I'm going to focus on some other shit. No, but yeah, we have. We've been hanging out quite some time.
Well, I mean, which again, by reports, I hope that ultimately that is not what you do, because it sounds like you are doing something that you are amazing at. But it's a struggle because it's fucking hard. Everyone should quit theater because it's fucking an idiot's game.
Yeah, really is. Don't do it.
Why am I still doing it?
Because you love it.
I know. Yeah.
Well, I hope all of our friends involved in all those things are okay.
Yeah.
And we're sending love out to them. You know, it makes me think of another thing. What you were just saying made me think of this. There's this idea in all the different systems talk about soul groups of people. Like you'll come into, in human design, they talk about somebody is on your vector. Uh-huh. And in spiritual language, they say like soul groups, she's part of my soul group, whatever. It'll be people that like you feel very deeply connected to, like you've known them forever, and they're sort of always orbiting in your reality.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, I had an interesting conversation with a friend this morning about all of this is making me think about soul groups and how we know these people and they know each other, and just like the way we orbit in and out of each other's lives in the professional theater is kind of funny. But this friend of mine, let's see, I'm thinking about how to frame all this. I have a person who I was close with that she and I have a mutual friend, and the mutual friend and I are still friends. But the first person and I ended the friendship some years ago. It wasn't working. And so the mutual friend and I were talking today about how for me in my life, I tend to have the experience of like, if I have to let go of someone, like, and I was using my mother as an example. I mean, this is like quite a dramatic example, but it makes the point pretty well. I had a mother who I need to like not be in relationship with, which is like a big deal for a person to come to that, right?
Yeah.
So you might think like that would be the relationship where I'm not talking to her, but I think about it and I wonder how she is, and she comes into my mind and then she goes out of my mind, and I want to call, but then I resist, and then I need help to not call. None of that goes on for me with my mother. My mother is just like, phew, thank God I finally got off that ride, because it's such a painful, difficult ride that getting off was like such a clear choice that it wasn't, by the time I was ready to make it, it wasn't a confusing choice. And that's a sad reality, but it just is my reality. Now, again, pair that next to, or look at that in juxtaposition to this friendship I had where I regularly want to know how she's doing, hope she's okay, feel her energy kind of pull into my world and then pull out. Like I can tell when she's thinking of me. I feel my heart is still connected to her. Like I love her. I have all this, like, I'd like to call and see how she is, but I'm not going to, because I remember how our, you know, and there's good reasons not to. And, but I, you know, so it's more charged and complex than it was with my own mother. And so to me, it's like with the things I've read, people like that are usually part of your soul family. They're on your vector. They're just going to be orbiting in and out of your awareness for this whole incarnation and sometimes many incarnations, which I just think is so interesting. That's all I have on that. You have any people like that?
Do you mean specifically like people who aren't really like still in your life, but
no,
can't also not be in your life?
No, I just mean people where it's like that you just know that that person's always in your orbit. Like the not in your life part is just sort of specific to my narrative with her, but I just mean, like, I would consider you one of those people, and my friend Meredith is one of those. There's just like, of course, Cassidy's around.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, absolutely. People who Well, I mean, part of that is like, I have some friends that have been friends for a really long time where we talk about the concept of being like no homework friends, which literally means you just pick up whenever you can, but you don't owe them time. You don't have to maintain the friendship. You can miss them and that's okay. But then like, I won't see them for 6 months, even though they're my quote best friend. And then that's fine. Because when we see each other, that's when we see each other. But there's no maintenance required. And I feel like that's a version of this where it's just like, well, that's just because they're there. They're going to be there. And you don't have to do the homework because it's not. Whereas I feel like we do have to do the homework for a lot of friends. And that's not a judgment. It's just like, no, if you want this friendship to maintain, you've got to keep putting in the time.
It's interesting. Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those people where it always feels like no time has passed and you just pick right up. Those are so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see what this next chapter of my life is going to bring because I have this feeling it's going to be like quite different. And it's, yeah, I'm just, it's the first time in a long time I feel like, oh, some very big shifts are afoot and I don't have a sense of exactly what they are. Mm. They're like out of my ability, my reach to see. It's kind of interesting. Kind of like, huh, that's going to be real different, isn't it? And I have no idea how.
Yeah.
Or in what form.
Yeah. What is, I go through patterns of, it's more that I think I should be worrying about the future. And then because of that, I start worrying about, what am I going to do? How am I going to retire? How am I going to do any of these things? And then,
yeah.
But those are like moments, and then those pass, and then I'm just like very present in the now and enjoying the now. And well, maybe I'll go broke and just die. I don't know. Like, that's fine. That doesn't scare me. So that's only vaguely relevant to what you just said. But I'm just sort of thinking about I'm not very good at thinking about what's coming.
Mm.
I have like a 1 year vision.
Yeah, I hear that.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You ever think about people like that consider themselves or that are known to the world as being futurists?
Yeah.
Like people who can look at trends and go like.
Yeah, they're looking at everybody's future too, not just their own.
Yeah. I find that very interesting. And also like, I mean, astrology, like if you look at astrology, it's a futurism that looks backwards. In other words, I was talking with another friend the other day about how each generation has a theme or a tone that it's about according to astrology, and it's all based on which planets were where. So, for example, Gen X is about authenticity, and the millennial gen is about sensitivity, and Gen Z is about breaking structures. And each of those things are determined by astrologers by which planet was where, when. So astrologers are just looking at the stars going like, well, this was doing that. So this whole period of time for 20 years or whatever, when kids were being born, was about authenticity. And then you look at what Gen X is about and it's all about fucking authenticity.
Yeah,
it's and you look at the millennials, they're all about having their feelings. And when you look at Gen Z, they're all about breaking all the structures. It's like, and it was just because this planet was sitting here when this happened.
God damn what? It.
What? Isn't that wild?
You know me and my resentfulness of my phrase, planetary determinism.
Uh-huh.
God damn it.
Yeah.
But also, how cool is that?
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I had a session with my human design teacher the other day, and human design's language for it is no choice universe. Like, we live in a no choice universe. There's no choice, really. We think there is. It's charming of us. But the deeper you get into the science of differentiation and you see, it's pretty fucking uncanny. Like, we did a reading about, we were looking at Eric and my charts together, and she was like looking at his chart. She's like, oh, wow. He's probably like this and like this. And when you do this, he probably feels like he has to do this. And then he probably behaves like this. And I'm like, uh-huh. Yep. Like to the letter. And it's all there. It's in the chart. It's just all there. And then he and I think like, you made this choice and therefore this thing happened. It's like, no, it's just what is. It's fucking wild.
Yeah.
I almost like lately I have this feeling of like, don't get into it, everybody. Don't learn about it. Don't learn about it. It's if you want to still believe you're in charge of reality, don't. Just go ahead. Believe it. It's fine. I've given up on the idea that humanity has any interest in waking up or knowing anything. There's 9 people who care, and it's not that relevant.
All right. You are in a moment here. definitely in a moment.
It's all going to spin into out of control or not, whatever. Like, really.
What do I have to say about it? Not much.
I mean, I have plenty to say about it. It's just not too relevant what I say about it.
Okay. Good talk. I'll see you later. Have a good week.
I hear you. I don't feel particularly negative as I say that. It just feels like a fact.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It doesn't make for good chit chat, but it's a fact. Like, things kind of are what they are. I think I find it fascinating, but a lot of people don't. That's all. I'll tell you a cool thing that happened. We can chat about this. I was in a session with my witch doctor, and she was getting my hormones balanced again. And whenever she works on me, so she and I do 2-person sessions. I should be talking about this anyway. As you know, Rami's coming in today for us, their second one, which I'm very excited about. You know, by the way, you might consider coming in. Maybe we could make your next session that you purchased be a double header with Lisa.
I could get down with that.
That could be really interesting. I'll talk with her about it. Anyway, she's working on physical stuff, and I'm feeling feelings, and we're processing. And then whenever we work together, like, all the light beings come in and all my woo-woo stuff happens during my own sessions. And so, like, I'm holding light codes and they're coming through and all the stuff. And there was this point on my belly that Lisa was trying to put her hand on to. Part of how she works is she touches the organ on the outside of your body that is processing whatever it needs to process. So she got her hand on my, I think it was my adrenals. And Squeezle was there. And she kept nosing in to where Lisa's hand was. And Lisa was like, Squeezle, you got to move. And Squeezle was very insistent until finally she just moved Lisa's hand out of the way and Squeezle held the point.
Wow.
And she laid on my lap, on my belly, passed out immediately, full asleep with snoring. Immediate. Just laying, sleeping, snoring. Immediate. And Lisa was like, oh, she's holding the point. And I was like, fucking A. And then it was like, I got to sort of see behind the scenes. It was like Squeezle was holding the point in the name of and on behalf of the angelic realm. I was transmitting and receiving from the star beings realm. And Lisa was working on the earthly realm, the human realm. And it was fucking wild. And that's this fucking dog. Okay. I don't care what anybody fucking says. This dog and I are soulmates, and she is legit my best healer and came to me, was gifted to me from the angels to help me in my life. Like, she's, that's like one story of many of how she's saved my ass in the middle of a healing process.
That's a wild one, though. She just literally was like, no, I got this one. No, I what I said was, I got like, this one.
Moved her hand. Yeah. Yes.
This one's for me. No, you're good at your job, but I'm better. So
this one's my job. This little point I have to do.
That's wild. Yep. That is so wild.
Yep. Well, do you have any things you want to do?
What else is going on?
Woo woo realm?
What do we want to do in the woo woo realm? You know what? I think we had just sort of a fun question. It's literally all it is.
Oh. Yeah.
It's actually from Denise. Let me find it.
Our best question writer.
Yeah. Just might be fun. It's almost more of a like, hey, how does this shit work question.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'll just read it. How about that?
Sounds good.
Hello, podcast friends. I have a fun, weird question for the record keepers. Background. During a recent healing class, I was working on my ED, eating disorder, and what the teacher identified as some past life energy around the eating disorder. One life where I felt constricted by a corset and one life where I gorged myself. We cleared the past life energy. Waking up today, I've been musing about these past lives. I'm a visual artist. All of my personal work is self-portraits. I went through a period of time in college where I created an alter ego of myself that was morbidly obese. I sculpted myself as fat, made all of these fat totems, and made a fat suit I wore for performance art. It was like this alter ego that I explored for a few years. I also have explored constriction and corsets in my work. I have made and worn and played with waists, ribs, tummy tightness for as long as I've made thoughtful art. My question is this version of myself in this lifetime tapping into and exploring issues from other lifetimes?
Mm-hmm.
Then part two of that question,
mm-hmm.
if it's a yes, is why? Why would I choose to have an incarnation obsessed with not only this lifetime self, but other selves as well?
Mm-hmm.
If there's any answer you get other than why not, I'd be happy to hear it.
Yeah. Okay. I already get a no. I don't think this is a past life thing. But let me, I'm going to formally open her records.
We can just beep out her name and say it.
Okay. I'm going to do it silently if that's okay.
Great.
Okay, so could you just reread the question part again? Just the question at the end there.
Is this version of myself in this lifetime tapping into and exploring issues from other lifetimes?
No. Okay, go ahead. What was the next part?
And then, why would I choose to have an incarnation obsessed with not only this lifetime, but other selves as well? And then there is a part three that might actually help out. Do the other branches, lifetimes / lifetimes of this self, know about me, the artist doing her healing work?
Okay. So first of all, the reason there's a no on the first part of the question is the question has built into it some assumptions that they're showing me are like inaccurate. Like, we remember with trauma, meaning things that are painful that happened to us in this lifetime, when we're asking why is always a way to avoid the pain of what happened now or in your childhood or youth. Why is, you know, why would I incarnate this way? Well, it's because you did is the answer. There is no other answer besides you did. But what's a more useful question is what can be done? And what can be done is to feel into the pain of what is there causing the obsession with body image, which in this case has a lot to do with self-hate that was internalized when the boundaries of the physical body and the psychic body and the emotional body and the spiritual body were broken or like penetrated inappropriately. This is a pretty common response for people who are violated, is they go to self-hate of the body because, excuse me, whew, energy's a lot to hold in this moment. Give me a second. So if you hate the vessel that gets broken and hurt, it makes you feel like, you being any human, it makes us feel like I have some control over what happened. And we need to believe we have some control over what happened until we're ready to understand we are totally out of control. So it's it's kind of interesting because it is on the topic of what you and I have been looking at today, Cass, of like no choice universe. Like, we're not in control of our lives to the degree that we like to think we are. Bad things happen sometimes to some people in some circumstances. So what the psyche is always doing to keep the child alive and to keep a person alive and surviving in the physical body is making an enemy of something that the psyche can then believe they can do something about. So a child can do nothing about their body being violated. A psyche, I don't even want to say child, but just a psyche can do nothing about what's happening to the body in the moment if they are overpowered, Does that make sense so far?
I think so. Yes.
So if you're there and you're being held down and abused and raped or whatever the case may be, your psyche can do nothing to help you. But what in terms of like the physical bad thing that is happening? You with me on that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So in order to help you, the only thing it can do is create a narrative that makes you believe there's something you can do to have control once this is over. Something you can do to have control over the pain. So what could you do to have control over the pain? You could make the body wrong. If the body's wrong, I'll just fix the body. And then once I'm thin, I'll love myself, is the unconscious belief that the psyche puts in place. Because it's way too much for your nervous system to deal with how disruptive, toxic, terrifying, life-threatening, and painful it was to have been actually physically violated. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So later in life, after a traumatizing, like a very bad traumatizing thing or set of things has occurred, you end up with these coping strategies that are sort of built into the nervous system that the psyche wedded itself to when the bad thing was happening in the past, that now just play out and repeat, 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 like a skipping record. So the body image obsession and the, I want to say, the self-hate that is hidden underneath the body image obsession, it's like any repetitive addictive pattern. The repetition, any rumination or spinning or repetitive thinking, is the psyche's unconscious attempt to keep you from pain. So the solution is to go into how painful the whole thing was at a pace you can handle. At a pace you can handle. You can't go too fast or the psyche like totally fragments and you have a psychotic break. But you can't do nothing about it because then you spend your time just believing in the ruminating, spinning obsession. So it's really about getting down to how painful and terrifying it was for the parts of you that dissociated into this fragmentation at the time and processing that. So it's now another reason people often like, now let me, sorry, there's a lot of information at once coming in. Are there elements of past lives contributing to this being a problem now for you? No. Is there karma from past lives contributing to this? No. Are there past lives and or karma that make this harder? No. So it's, let's say you cleared, it sounds like you were in a situation where you cleared a bunch of past lives about this. That's good. Yay. And until the trauma from this life is processed, meaning felt again, so it can be reintegrate, so the part of you that fragmented off, that is holding the trauma, that creates the obsessive thinking, can be reintegrated, until that trauma is processed and felt in your body in present time through facing it and feeling it, it doesn't matter how many past lives you clear, you'll still keep having the ruminating, the obsessing, the needing to draw about it. Now, there is a relief that comes in drawing or painting about our torture. It's like you're doing short-term alchemy, right? You're like, oh, this pain is in my body unconsciously. My conscious mind knows how to draw, so the pain gets filtered through the drawing. But it's still, it's being like, you could think of that as it's being like, the image is like a, if you took a very fine cheesecloth that's porous, but like with teeny tiny holes, and you put a thick, 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 thick liquid, almost like a mud or like a clay. If you put clay on a cheesecloth and you don't push it, you just put it there, right? If you like, you know what I mean? You stretch a cheesecloth or okay. And you put somewhat moist clay on top of it, very slowly, bit by bit, as the clay softens, pieces of it are going to come through the cheesecloth. That's what artistic expression of pain is. in terms of processing the pain and being free of it. Now, if you were to go right into the pain, it would be the equivalent of like dousing that mud, that clay with hot water, which would dissolve it and make it run all over you. And it would be messy and terrible and uncomfortable. And then it would be done. Now, that's not, I'm not saying you should do that. Therefore, do that. I'm not. I'm just describing to you the way they show it to me, the two metaphors. So what a human has to do is titrate the pain out at a rate they can handle. Otherwise, you crack yourself. But we don't want to teach you falsehoods by saying, yeah, just clear all the past lives and you'll be good. You won't be until the trauma of this life that created this is processed. And they just pulled right out of my body.
Wow, that's interesting. That was so much like deeper. I didn't read the whole letter. The letter ended with like, I know this feels, I don't smoke pot, but it feels like a sort of a hazy dorm room type of a question. And I was like, well, yeah, because in that framing, that's all it is. Was, do they know about me if I was there or not? Like, that's the level that the question was asked. But the But the level of depth of the answer is just much deeper than that. That's all.
Yeah. Also, so that's a different question, right? Let's look at that question for a second. So there's a few things. Okay. There's a few things here. One, what you're talking about in this case, this is not true for all cases. This is not true about all past life. This is not a big general thing I'm about to say. What we're talking about in this case are fragmented aspects of your this lifetime self. So they're fragments of you right now. So to ask the question, do they know about me? They are you. They're just fragmented out of you, and they're waiting to be integrated into you to come so that all of you can be whole and come back together. Past life selves, do they know about us? No. Not unless there's a break in the field that allows, like when you're psychic, you can know a lot of stuff through all time space, right? So if that's going on, great. Otherwise, no. What we experience in other dimensions and in other times and places is not aware of us, and nor are we of it, unless you do weird shit like what I'm doing right now.
Right.
But the very question is a little bit off base, because what they're showing me, like, this is how they say it in my ear. Guide this person back to their pain in their body this lifetime. This isn't about previous lifetimes, period. So then as they say that to me, they start to show me the whole picture of why. So then I'm trying to articulate the suggestion combined with the why, the image of the past. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, very much so. I think that's often what we run into with questions, which is like, we can answer that question or we can answer the actual thing behind that question.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes your guides are like, that's cute, but this is what the question actually is.
Yeah, it's
or this is the information they need, not the answer to that question. They actually need this information.
Yeah, that. I would say that. And I'm sure that whoever they worked with that did the past life stuff with them, that was great and real and good. It's just that it's a sliver of what, it's a sliver of anything compared to the avalanche that would occur with going into that particular pain some more.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, and it's scary to, and it's very understandable.
Yeah.
How not fun that is, and how nobody wants to do that.
Yeah. Super true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. My pleasure. I hope it's helpful. I'm going to close their records. Give me a second. Almost forgot to do that. I was like, why do I feel even weirder now? Oh. Oh, that's better. Okay. Well, what do you think? We wrap it up there and have this be a quickie.
That's fine. I just wanted to say two more things, and it's because of what we just talked about. I was just talking, Rami's in town right now, and we were just talking around oatmeal and coffee this morning about, I was saying, I miss doing records for our guests.
Me too.
Because, and it, this is super, this is very three presentational brain. Just like, I think it makes for, like, in a sense, quote, I don't even want to say better, but just, it's more presentational, it's showier, or it's more like, oh, for public content. That being said, because mostly what, significantly for our guests recently, we've done, we end up doing human design stuff, which is awesome for the guest. And but then I will put a thumb on the scale in the other direction to say, also got reports that like our reflector episode was utterly life-changing for some other people.
Oh, wow. That's so great.
Not just the guest. So like that level of depth that you went in, especially on the reflector specifically.
It's all of it.
Because it's like, this is a thing that, you know, some very unique people who might feel isolated and alone needed to hear.
Yeah.
Because all of the reflectors needed to hear it because they don't, there's nobody near them like them.
Yep. Yep. I've been getting the same feeling though, for whatever it's, excuse me, worth to you, that like I miss going in the records on here.
Yeah. With our guests, just because it's fun. It's fun is the weird word there, but for me, it's fun because I get to sit outside and just watch it happen.
Yeah. I also think it's just, it's what we do, and I needed a time where I was doing less of it, but it's kind of returning now.
Cool.
So I'm available for it again, which means we can do it again, I guess.
Awesome. Well, I know we have some cool guests coming up. Our Sophia's working madly behind the scenes to get ourselves some guests lined up.
Thank you, Sophia.
Sophia is the best. I think that's all we need to do today. This is good. We'll see if this episode can come out this weekend. Just a little swap-a-rooney. And I love you, Katie.
Love you too. Sixlinestudios.org for tickets. Six Line Studios. And that's S-I-
Go get them.
S-I-X-T-H line, L-I-N-E studios with an S.org. And we'll see you at the show.
Go see the play. I might come this weekend, but I might come next weekend. Okay.
Love you.
Lovely. Love you too. Have a great one. See you soon. Bye.
You asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
Where do all these men find the audacity? No, actually.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.